Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back.
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Watchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
And welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
Good, you?
I'm good. I'm busy.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's very good.
It is good.
Yeah, you could tell by my response that I like being busy.
Good.
Yeah, some people don't. I realized when I said that, you know, for you it might not be such a great thing. I don't know.
Can I tell you a little story about being busy?
Yes, please.
So I'm planning a big set of events at work.
Uh-huh.
And the feedback I've gotten has been overwhelmingly positive.
Oh.
From people many levels above me.
Oh, very good.
And I tell you, the level of voices and conditioning and overwhelm and anxiety that it's trying to talk me into,
uh-huh.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You can see why people want to stay small.
Yeah. And it's so helpful, isn't it, to see it. To see those two side by side like that.
Yes.
You know, if you were doing this and you're not getting any feedback from anybody.
Yes.
And the voices are telling you all this stuff. Well, okay, that may be so. How do I know?
Right.
But here you are getting all of this positive feedback, and then the voices are trying to tell you the same old rotten stuff they've always told you, and
yes.
It's like, wow, you guys. Not only are you mean and hateful and trying to ruin a person's life, but you're lying.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's so helpful to see that.
It's really helpful to see it. And what's also been really helpful is that twice a week I write down the process, just the voices.
Uh-huh.
And it is so liberating.
Uh-huh.
It just comes through, comes out my fingers, and it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's amazing.
We have these little openings on the ends of our fingers. We just open them up and let that stuff out, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, otherwise it stays in there, and as long as it stays inside, it's true. It has the power to grab us when we're least expecting it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's really a tribute to practice.
Yeah.
And being willing to show up to the best of my abilities.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and now that reminds me of something. Speaking of busy in my life, I'm getting ready to start an email class.
Yeah.
I think it's on Friday. Friday will be the first day of the class.
Yeah.
And so I'm working diligently, putting it all together. And it's on creating the universe. You know, the idea being that we each live in our own universe, even though we don't know it and can't see it, and all of that sort of thing. And so, of course, you know, I'm living even more than usual in that place that you're describing, because that's what we know happens to people. People live inside a conditioned reality, inside their own head, and they become isolated inside that. It's their primary relationship. It's what they hear all day long. They believe it. And for most of the people in the world, they will never get outside that trap. They'll just live in it until they die. But the word that you said that makes all the difference in the world, practice.
Practice.
And that thing that you're doing of stopping twice a day and writing down what the voices are saying, or the kinds of exercises that we'll do in something like the emo class. You know, it's only a month.
Yes.
It's only a month. And that's not very long when you consider an average lifetime. But to practice turning the attention in that way with regularity is the thing ultimately that will liberate us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's a wonderful thing to acknowledge, because an awful lot of time, if we're not careful, an awful lot of time can go by in unconsciousness. And when we are unconscious, it's not like conditioning is unconscious. Well, conditioning is unconscious, but it's maintained in unconsciousness.
Yeah.
Unconsciousness is the world of suffering.
Yeah.
And so all of the time that we spend being unconscious in relationship with those voices inside our head, living in that lie that they are projecting, as you were describing earlier, if we are not careful, we can go along for days, weeks, months, years, a lifetime.
Yes.
Never coming to. And practice is the thing that begins to help us remember that something else is possible.
Yes. Yes. Well stated. Yeah, that's my experience.
Yeah, so good for you. Twice a day. How do you remember to do it?
Actually, it's twice a week.
Oh, but, twice a week.
Twice a week.
I've just advanced you.
You gave me a little bit more work.
Yeah. So twice a week. I mean, how do you remember to do it?
I put it in my calendar.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also, I think with practice, I'm more aware of when I'm really under siege. And, you know, now I need to do this.
Yeah. And perhaps I need to do this more often.
Yes.
So when you're under siege, you might actually move it up to twice a day.
Yes.
Right? Just, and with something like that, doesn't have to be a long time.
No, it actually is not.
Yeah, sit there and write for 30 minutes. Yeah. It's just turning the attention to it and realizing, whoa, I'm trapped in that awful suffering reality. I'm trapped in those voices and believing all of those lies. I need to turn my attention, and poof, you've already disidentified, and then it's just reinforcing, taking a little time for yourself.
Yes.
To remember who you are and what life really is and what you're doing and all like that.
Yes.
Very good.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Sherry, we have three callers.
All right. Let's talk to them.
Let's talk to them. I'd like to welcome Phyllis from Oklahoma. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Hi, Sherry. I'm in Rockport, Texas.
Well, good for you. How are things in Rockport?
Well, at the first week or so was cold and raining, and I felt I had a bad feeling about it, not like good or bad, but like a stomach ache.
Uh-huh. And it's better now.
So I had to kind of learn to deal with that. But I got through that, and it's been a beautiful day today, and I've got to walk on the beach, and I've done more since I've been here. I'm not waking up with the voices just anymore, and the doctor said that place on my spine hasn't grown, so she released me to go, and I've been here since December 21st. But I go to Zen meditation here in Rockport, about 8,000 people, on Tuesday nights.
Oh,
we do a
very good.
Zen meditation. Yeah, and then we do the Zen meditation, and then we do a little walking meditation, and then we sit again.
Good for you.
That's really, and tonight they didn't have it because they went to an art teaching course, and it was $100-something, and I said, well, I'm going to save my money for Sherry Huber's retreat. There's nothing wrong with me.
All right. They can go enjoy art. You can stay home, save your money, and talk to us on the radio.
Yeah, because I am I play the piano, and that's been great. They've got music over here, and I've been playing my drum, and met a lot of neat people down here, and then I also have caught myself being real judgmental, which is looking at my projections.
Good, very good.
When I first got here, it was like, oh, my God, I'm here, and I'm seeing myself in all these ways that I don't want to see.
Exactly.
Other people. in other people, and I'm going, okay, I got a long ways to go.
Yeah, well, and of course, as we're always fond of reminding ourselves, following those projections back, realizing where they come from and what they are and how much suffering they cause us and how much suffering they cause others, and that's how we grow compassion. It's realizing we're all in this together. We've all suffered in the same kinds of ways. We've been taught the same sort of stuff. We use all of that hateful stuff, it's used against us, and then it's used to separate us from other people. And when we realize that, we can kind of look around and go, wow, it's hard to be a human. Let's find one and be nice. And that's easy, because there's always one really close by, right? You can always be nice
yeah.
to know us. And it helps us grow that kindness, that loving kindness and compassion and sympathy.
Yeah, because I there was one gentleman that I had met that I was having a real problem with judgmentalness, and then I got to thinking, that's me, and I have to love myself, and I have to love him, and I have really grown to like him.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Yeah, when you stop believing the lies that those voices are telling you about who he is and who you are and how things are, and you actually just open up to the fact that, wow, I'm projecting all this stuff onto him. Maybe there's something else possible. And as soon as you get past that, you realize, wow, I like him. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, and he even called me sweetie. So it's just to see those things and be aware of them. I'm so grateful for you and your program and for Michael and...
Well, good. Well, thank you. And, it's wonderful. It's wonderful for us that we get to do this. And I hope that gratitude extends to you, because you're the one doing the practice.
I hope that I can just keep on, well, I am. I'm going to keep on doing
yep.
it as long as I can do it.
That's right.
I have to make a decision.
Yep. You just keep on doing it. Just keep on practicing.
Yeah, my blood pressure's down, and the meditation that gave me to do that is down. So it's just awesome.
Good.
I'm not gonna keep. I'll listen to you, but I'm not gonna stay on very long. I know there's other people wanting to talk.
I know they're lined up out there. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Do what?
It's a wonderful thing. We have people lined up wanting to talk.
I want to hear them. So. Peace to you guys, and I bow to you, and thank you.
Thank you for calling in and giving us the happy report.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Phyllis. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Roger from Vermont. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening, Roger.
Hello.
How are things in your world?
Well, pretty good right now.
Oh, good. Well, right now is all we've got, right?
Yes, that's true.
Uh-huh. Sounds like they haven't been that good.
Well, it's strange, because I've been doing a lot of practice, and things have been changing a lot for me. But I feel like things, it's sort of like the bad stuff comes on even stronger sometimes. And it doesn't take much to upset the apple cart, it seems.
Yeah.
Like I plan things out for myself, like to support myself. And if one little thing, like tonight somebody canceled an appointment with me, and it just was like... I can see why, but it doesn't. I can see why it upset me, but it still really upset me. And then conditioning saying, "Well, that means practice isn't working."
We can count on conditioning for that, can't we?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And I believe it. And then I stop and do the breathing, and I can see through it. And then, whoom! It's like this wave; it comes right back.
Yeah. Well, it's old and it's deep.
Yeah.
How, if you spend any time around little kids, we can see how early on feeling what they feel, being who they are, is not okay. You know, you can't feel that. Don't feel that. That's the wrong thing to feel. Or it's really upsetting to me that you feel that way. Or here, come over here and let me distract you in this way. Or have a cookie there. Don't be upset. Don't have emotions, and especially don't have strong emotions. That's just one lifetime.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a huge pull. It's so foreign to our way of being in life to just be able to feel something and have a reaction of, oh, there's that feeling. Yeah, okay. Oh, well, yeah, sure. That makes sense, yeah. And be perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, you know, I can kind of glimpse that. I was thinking about that tonight, actually, when I was doing the breathing in the middle of something, and I remembered this quote that you, I don't know if it was in the peace quotes or whether it was in the email class, but it said, just remain in the center watching. And it felt like that the breath is kind of like that.
And did it finish with something like, and then forget that you're there, or something like that?
Something like that. I can't remember the rest of it, but I did remember that stay in the center watching part, and it felt like that sort of, you can see it all, but you're not really swept away by it.
Yes, because you are the awareness that watches. And to me, that's what you're describing in this. And it's perfect, because that's what's always going on in practice. I'm either the illusion of a separate self, believing that whatever this is real. So, I'm this separate self, and I believe that when somebody cancels an appointment with me, it means this and this and this and this and this and this. And all of those are bad things, and it says all of these things about who I am and my value and importance, and it says something about my future, what's going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this just giant world of meaning that comes up, and all of the feelings that go with that. Okay, that's who I am.
Right.
Then I step back, I step into that center, and I'm observing this, and I'm the awareness that observes it. And so, yes, that person who's having that experience, well, gosh, that is certainly understandable. Given everything that happened and all of the, well, sure. I mean, yes, of course that person feels that way. And there's the willingness, the desire to simply, the little fingers are making the little quotes in the air, embrace that person in compassion. To just be with that person and say, yeah, it's fine that you feel the way you feel.
Right, yeah, and it's like I can do that for a few moments, and then conditioning is right there saying, that's not going to work, you can't do that. It's
right there talking you into being that person again.
Right, it's like it's almost like I can feel the energy of it.
Yeah.
Just pushing me.
Know. Yeah. In fact, probably if you just turned your attention to it, you can feel exactly where the energy comes at your body. Where that cord is, where that pull is.
Yeah, for me, it's almost completely in my chest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, around my heart. That's really where I feel it the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, trying to pull you out of awareness and into identification.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, if we can, and I know you know this because you're doing it, but if we can realize that seeing the process of that is so much more important than getting somewhere with it, we really increase our chances of staying in awareness.
Oh, because that actually is awareness, isn't it?
Yes.
Seeing the process.
Yeah. So there I am. I'm that, we guess, pretty young person being really upset. step back into center, into awareness, and then the pull starts. There it is. The voices come in, and they're talking, and there's the pull to go back into being that upset young person.
Right.
Then there's a shift back and the ability to be aware of that happening. There's the person in awareness. There's the pull. There are the voices being pulled into that. Okay. But you have stepped back, and you're watching that interaction.
Oh, okay, I see. So that's part of conditioning, which is saying, I have to end this.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. There's something wrong. This shouldn't be happening.
Right.
Oh, well, what this means is, so somebody breaks an appointment with you. What that means is, you get upset over it. Oh, well, what that means is, this means that practice isn't working. Okay, well, that means that you need to quit practicing.
Right, right. Yeah, and it goes there like in a second.
Second.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, the conclusions are all already there, all lined up.
Yes, yes. And it's as literal as that sensation means that. So it's as if there's a, you know, imagine there are buttons all over your body, and that one, you push that one, and what springs into existence is an entire universe.
Mm.
Okay, so that button gets pushed, and so somebody cancels an appointment, that gets pushed, and what that means is, and here the whole universe comes up. You're unloved, you've always been unloved, you're never going to be loved, you're never going to fit in, you're never going to belong, you're never going to have what you want, you're never going to be happy. You might as well kill yourself.
Right, yeah, that's exactly it.
and it just, it's like freeze-dried, you know, or whatever. It's just...
Oh, right,
it's instantaneous. The whole thing just springs into being.
It's just waiting for the right circumstances.
Yep, just waiting for that sensation, boom. There it is. And the thing that's so difficult about it is nobody says any of this. You know, it's not like you would necessarily hear a voice that says, oh, well, what this means is you're never going to be happy.
No, it's so physical.
Yeah, you just know it. It's just obvious. It's like a voice needing to tell you you're underwater.
Right, yeah, right.
You don't need to be told that. When you're underwater, you know you're underwater.
Right, right. That's right.
Yeah.
So it seems like the thing is to really look and say, well, am I really underwater?
Yes, and to be fascinated by the process.
Be fascinated by the process.
Yeah. Wow.
How does this happen?
How does this happen? Whoa, I was there and now I'm here. You know, it's all this science fiction, Star Trek stuff, you know? It's like there you are in one reality, and then, poof, you're in another galaxy. How did I get
there? Boy, that's a great image, Sherry. Thank you for that. That is really a great image.
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
And so to be more interested in that than, oh, well, now this is a mistake. But that's what conditioning would do. Okay, this is a mistake. You shouldn't be here. What is wrong? How did you do that? Why are you... You should be... This is... Rather than, well, now that was amazing.
Right, right. So that's what you're saying, say about the attitude of fascination.
Yes. Because it is fascinating.
Yeah, it's really...
If we don't take it personally, it is just so interesting.
So if we're not buying the I should feel good story,
right,
but just looking at what's actually happening and how it's happening.
Yes. And, you know, with if we take that one, I should feel good, it's only programming that says we shouldn't feel good about being upset.
Right, because that's just some physical sensation that...
Yeah,
you know.
And so, you know, if I just lost my best friend, wouldn't I want to be upset?
Wouldn't you want to be upset?
Wouldn't I want to be upset?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, we would think so, right? So, you know, if you just lost your best friend and felt nothing, you just feel good. Wouldn't that kind of make you question sort of what's going on with you?
Yeah.
So here we are. We are creatures that are conscious and aware. We experience sensation. We experience emotion. You know, we have all of these capabilities, and then we're told that we shouldn't enjoy them.
Oh, I see. No matter what it is, it should be something else.
That's right. That's exactly it. That's actually a deeper level than I was on at that point. Yeah, that's across the board. Whatever it is that's going on should be different.
So we don't get to enjoy...
No, we don't get to enjoy our humanity.
Which is just this huge range of things.
Exactly. And often for no reason.
Just spontaneously there.
It's just whatever is going on.
Mm,
and
right.
And the voice is saying you should be having a different experience. What that means is, so you should be having a different experience.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Instead of, wow. Whew, 15 minutes ago I was on top of the world. Now I, you know, want to jump off of a cliff. Wow. This is
Well, this is very helpful. So.
Good. I'm glad, Roger.
Thanks very much.
Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Good night.
It's Roger. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have a couple of callers from Canada.
Oh, lovely.
I'd like to welcome Roxanne from British Columbia. You're Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Sherry, hi.
Good evening.
Hello. Gee, what a privilege for me. I'm very grateful to be speaking with you tonight. Sherry, what's been said earlier with Roger has been helpful to me, so I hope this isn't too repetitive by any stretch, but I want to say in some ways I've throughout my life been something of a avoidance queen.
Uh-huh.
And so I have a little apprehension around mindfulness, meditation, concentrating on the breath. I understand the notion that if you practice every day, then you can apply this in real life. So in other words, you know, an emotion comes up, you can concentrate on the breath. That gives you a moment to be objective, to stand back, and act a little bit more skillfully. But I tell you, maybe it's just conditioned mind, but I tell you, if I'm feeling intensely emotional and I go to the breath, I can't help but feel that what I'm doing is, the breath is just a diversion technique, an avoidance technique, and I wonder, well, sometimes I'll be, for example, in a car, you know, feeling mildly impatient, so I concentrate on the breath, and then a few seconds later come back to that emotion, and I'm feeling upset that I'm still impatient. It's like, oh, this mindfulness isn't working. So I say to myself, gee, I'm just trying to divert my attention and avoid the whole uncomfortable emotions. So I wonder, is there anything to processing emotions, or is it just, oh, concentrate on the breathing?
Well, first of all, to me, the most interesting part about that is, what is an emotion?
Yes.
So as I've looked at it over the years, and now this, you know, you might take this sort of as a little exercise to play with, to see what your experience of it is.
Yes.
But I'm hard-pressed to find anything called an emotion that isn't simply physical sensation and a story.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yep.
So, so if we're in agreement about that,
yeah,
then there's the physical sensation. Well, you know, I can get in the car and if I'm in a hurry to get somewhere, then I'm impatient with any slowdowns or other people's driving or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get somewhere and these people are in my way and I'm feeling frustrated by it.
Right.
And there's a story going on about how I'm going to be late and my God, and what's the matter with these people and whatever it is. So there's the adrenaline pumping.
Yes.
Because I've got a story going about how I'm going to be late and what this means.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another time I get in the car, you know, I left an hour early because, you know, it's a beautiful day and I feel like going out and driving around, listening to music, and I'm in no hurry to get to where I'm going, and I'm just having a nice time. I don't care what people are doing. You know, the traffic stops, well, what, it doesn't matter. You know, the music is still good. It's still a beautiful day. I have plenty of time. That's my story. You know, I'm having a nice time. So there's not, you know, there's not that big rush of adrenaline. There's no meaning about, you know, anything bad that's going to happen. So to me, having those kinds of awarenesses about what's going on with me are more helpful to me than figuring something out in the way of going into an emotion and believing that there's something going on other than sensations in my body and a story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You with me on that one?
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes the story, you know, I have one relative in particular. I've spent the last 25 years trying to come to terms with trying to relax around trying to not get engaged in that story. And I haven't been able to master this yet, the intensity of emotion that comes up. And, you know, I understand, you know, about projection. I understand, you know, the things that we get hot under the collar about the most are aspects of ourselves that we, you know, our shadow sides. I get all that. And, you know, the story is that, wow, this is, you know, this person's just, you know, terrible. I can't stand it, you know. And it's very physical and very intense. And, gee, I just haven't been able to master this one. This is actually probably the biggest spiritual challenge in my puny little life, and I'm bound and determined to get a handle on this before
okay.
I die.
So let's do the little exercise. What are three ways that you would describe this person? What is it that you just cannot abide?
She just talks about herself nonstop.
She talks about herself nonstop.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. There aren't even three things.
No.
Just that one.
Well, I guess there are other things too, but that's the primary one.
Uh-huh. And so how would you feel about yourself if you did that, if you just talked about yourself all the time?
Well, nobody would listen. I mean, if I talk to somebody about something that's important to me, within 2 minutes, their eyes are glazing over, you know, and I understand that what's driving this passion is jealousy. It's like, well, how can she do it and not only get away with it, but, you know, this is her MO and it seems to work. And I can't. So I think that's what's really behind it, is jealousy.
Uh-huh. And so do you know the part of you who is jealous?
Oh, yes. It's this screaming little child that's saying, me, 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 me.
Uh-huh. The part of you who's just like her.
Yeah.
But not successful.
Right.
So basically it comes down to she's winning.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
It's not fair. And
it just ticks you off.
Yeah, and so, you know, you wrote in one of your books, you know, the different characters and how funny they really are. And I'm getting the, you know, really funny image of in my mind of myself, this Mimi, screaming Mimi. So I get all that.
Now, let me ask you this. How old is this person?
33.
The relative that drives you crazy is 33?
Yes.
And is she healthy?
Yes.
Okay. And so do you ever decide, instead of getting your nose out of joint, that you might walk in there and just do to her what she does?
No.
How come?
Does
it sound like fun?
Not really. No.
Uh-huh. How come?
Well, I don't know that frankly, it just seems kind of boring for anybody to be talking about themselves.
It seems boring, but somebody would rather be in a state about this. Okay, so the picture is that this is, for 25 years, this has driven you crazy. It's the most intensely emotional, difficult, painful thing in your life.
Yeah.
Okay, and then when there's a suggestion of something to do to change that, the response is it would be boring.
Yeah.
Do you find that interesting?
Well, it's kind of like,
kind of like maybe somebody doesn't want it to be different?
No, I'd like it to be different. The way to make it different is to avoid it and not see this person, and then it's just
now. Who decided that?
Oh, me.
Who's me?
Myself.
Yeah, see, I think we're closing in on the person who's actually the difficulty in the situation.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's
me, myself,
somebody.
And I.
Huh?
Me, myself, and I?
Well, I don't for a second think that I'm talking to anything like the centered self. Okay? So I'm talking to somebody who presents this, you know, this hideous situation. And then there's a suggestion of a way to change that, and the response is, well, that would be boring. Okay, and then the next response is, well, the way to handle this is to avoid this person and never see her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are interesting responses to me.
Okay.
That does not sound like somebody who wants to actually resolve a situation and find freedom.
Hmm, interesting.
You think?
Yeah, no, that's very interesting.
Yeah. So I would like to see if we can find somebody in there who would actually like to take on this situation as a personal growth, spiritual growth experiment.
Oh, hey, yeah, I mean, she's here.
Okay.
She's on the phone.
All right. Then what I want her to do, because you see this person regularly, or could, can?
A couple of times a year.
Wow, a couple of times a year?
Yep.
And is this upsetting to you?
Yep.
Wow, when's the next visit coming up?
It's coming up soon.
Do you talk on the phone?
Not a lot.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we need to prepare for this visit.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to suggest for this visit is that can you mimic her for a few sentences? Talk as if you are her to me.
Okay, let me see. I'm a really strong warrior woman. When I'm angry, I let it all out.
Oh, wow, that is so interesting. You know, I've been looking at that in myself. I've been looking at anger and the way anger is for me, and how I've learned to be with anger in my life. That is so interesting to me, to see it as a strong warrior characteristic. I love that.
Oh, yeah. God, this is an invitation to get her to keep talking about how fantastic she is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, I feel like I'm going to be sick.
Go ahead. Can you see, though, what's going on with this?
Well, I'm not sure what you're getting at.
That the investment in that you are right about who she is, that you are as focused on you being the right person as she is focused on her being the right person.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, for sure. A lot of self-righteousness.
So might there be a possibility of bringing some lightness, some humor, some playfulness into role-playing this in a way that helps you stay disidentified? Because you're really believing the person who's telling this story.
And the person telling the story is the angry, noble woman?
The person telling the story is the you who believes that you are right about...
There's no question. Yeah.
So yeah. I'm trying my best to convince you that you might want to do something like I'm suggesting, not as a way to pry yourself loose from the identification that you have with the noble warrior woman in you.
Yes. Yeah.
Because she's not a problem.
Oh, there's no question that this is my problem. This is 100% my problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so can you see what I'm pointing at as a possible way around it?
Yes.
Now, I would encourage you to wait about 24 hours and listen to the archives of this show, or 48 or whatever, and see if you can hear the identification that I'm trying to get you to step clear of.
It's self-righteous.
All the things you're projecting onto her. And I think if you listen, you'll hear you identifying with her. You'll hear the times that she comes in and I'm actually talking to her. She's talking to me. And then there'll be a little glimmer of time when she's not there, when I'm talking to somebody else, and then she comes right back in again.
Okay.
So listen to the archives.
Yes,
and then call me back and tell me what you heard. When is this visit?
It's in March.
Okay, we got to work fast. It's going to be a great visit. Trust me on this.
Oh God, that would be so fantastic.
I'm telling you, it's going to work.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Roxanne. You're to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was fun.
Yes, I think she's just going to have a great time.
Yes, mm-hmm. Me too. And I appreciated your suggestion about listening to the archives. I know that's been helpful for me as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people will call or they'll write to me or whatever, let me know that they've called into the radio show, and then the voices tell them, you can't listen to that. You sounded like an idiot. Everybody knows you're a moron. You can never give your real name again. You know, and then they get up their courage and they listen to the show and they go, I was fine.
Fine.
And they can hear, of course, those kinds of subtleties that I was suggesting that Roxanne listen for.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Great. We have one more caller, Sherry.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Julie from Montreal. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey, Julie.
Hello. How are you?
Good. You?
Good. I called a couple of months ago. I was the woman, the 45-year-old woman who's not going to have children.
Yes.
And so I was, I'm working with a therapist about all what that means to me and what I was coming up with on the weekend. And I wanted to ask you about was, is it possible to feel the pain and the sorrow of that but not have the suffering that goes with it?
Absolutely.
Good.
And do you know what the components are?
The components of the pain and sorrow?
Yeah, and the not suffering.
Well, yeah, because on Sunday morning, I was, like, it was Sunday, and I was, like, having all these voices saying, you shouldn't be feeling sad, you shouldn't be feeling the pain, you know. And then this voice, it was just, I just relaxed in the thought, well, what if I just feel the pain and sorrow and just let the pain and sorrow visit for the day or as long as it wants? And for the whole day, Sherry, it just seemed like I had all this energy and happiness and joy around just being able to feel that.
Yeah, just to feel how you feel.
Yeah.
Because the suffering happens when we are convinced that there's something wrong.
Yeah. When I drop the guilt and the shame about all of what this meant or, you know, and these are very old feelings that are attributed to these events in my life that one could say is random, that it didn't happen the way I wanted to. It doesn't have to have the meaning that I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
So to drop all this and just explore, you know, my world without the shame and the guilt.
Yeah. Or crazy notion number whatever,
mm-hmm.
with it.
Pardon me?
With it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, that can be there too.
Yeah.
And we just say, well, that's how she feels.
Yeah, and it was like at one point I felt the voices coming up and then I just thought, I'm not having that conversation today.
Right. Boy, and I mean the freedom. The freedom, right?
No, well, it went from the day of, oh, I have no social event planned, I hope a friend calls, or who should I call to, then when all that went away, it was like, I hope nobody calls, because I'm going to have the whole day by myself, and we're going to do whatever we want today.
Yeah, I am just not having that conversation. If people could add that sentence to their vocabulary and add that ability to their practice, the freedom that follows that is just immeasurable.
Yeah, and I've been fighting for some reason to start meditating, and yesterday I started meditating, and it was just this easy flow,
yep.
just to sit down and do it. And
just
today
to sit
I
down
did.
And be with you.
Pardon me?
Just to sit down and be with you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's good news.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm very, very happy for you.
Okay.
Take care.
Take care.
And I know you will. I can say take good care of yourself and be assured that that will be the case.
Okay.
That's
Thanks.
Lovely. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Julie. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have about 5 minutes left, and I have a couple email questions here.
Oh, good. Boy, it's been a while since we've been able to get to one of those.
Yes. Dear Sherry and Michael, I've wanted to call in for some time because I find the radio show to be invaluable as a forum for Sangha, and I'm always looking for support in my practice. However, conditioning has thus far prevented me from doing so by persuading me that I have yet to come up with a, quote, really good question, unquote, that merits your attention. This justification was reinforced last time I submitted an email question because you declined to answer the question that I had come up with. However, I have mustered up the courage once again to write in rather than waiting for a, quote, really good question, unquote, to appear, or for the vastly greater courage to pick up the phone and call. I was very fortunate to come across your books about 4 years ago and attended a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat about 2 years ago. I have enthusiastically participated in a variety of Living Compassion events since that time. My experience of life has vastly improved as a result of the practice. In fact, I have been told that my major depression is in partial remission for the first time since I was 11 years old. I am deeply grateful to you and all who follow and establish this path for leading the way. I continue to read and listen to a variety of Zen philosophy daily during my commute and free time. I'm excited to have recently begun taking part in the San Francisco Zen Center's year-long Establishing the Path of Practice program, which supports Sangha members along the journey of establishing a daily sitting practice. However, I have experienced quite a bit of resistance to establishing a daily or even weekly sitting practice in my own life. I sense that I have not suffered enough. Ironically, I believe that my as-yet superficial sense of center, oneness, and compassion have significantly contributed to a general feeling of contentment in my life that diminishes my incentive to deepen my practice. I am sure this is simply a natural part of the process. However, I do not want to succumb to conditioning's effort to convince me that this means I do not deserve or need your support. I look forward to hearing your thoughts. Thank you, Indeep Kasho, from a listener in San Francisco.
Well, first of all, the thing that occurs to me is that this would be a really good question to bring up in the class.
To bring up an email class?
The class that's being taken, the year-long class.
Oh, yes.
I mean, certainly if people there are teaching a year-long class on establishing a practice, I would think that this would be a really important question to ask in that class.
Yes.
Don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So I think that that would be about as far as I would go with that.
Okay, great.
Yeah. I mean, that just seems so reasonable to me. If I were going to invest a year of my life with people on establishing a daily practice, then I would want to be working with them on establishing a daily practice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I can see that. Great. We have about 2 minutes left. I have another question here.
Okay.
Hello, Michael. How do I respond to my husband when he is caught up in one of his sub-personalities and is blaming me? We both follow Zen and your work and have been to your retreats. The last one was especially difficult as he got caught up in his self-hate and protects himself by being angry and unpleasant to be around. I can't get in, and I also struggle to take care of myself. Then we each are responding to one another from a sub-personality, and that never works. Help, Gasho, from a listener in San Diego.
Aha. Well, that is a very difficult place, isn't it? Because, you know, sometimes I think it's I'm not even going to say that. Yes, I will, because otherwise people will wonder what it is that I'm But sometimes I think when couples get the lingo, it makes it worse. Because there's that playing off of one another. If we're around people who don't know the practice that we're doing and don't know the language and that sort of thing, it's much easier for us to see it's all me.
Yes.
You know, so I'm creating these people. I'm projecting parts of myself out and making them real, and then I have all these beliefs and assumptions about who they are and that sort of thing. But in a relationship, it gets so real because you know the other person and you know their moods and you do see their sub-personalities. And so it's easier to fall into a thing, into a place of believing that, you know, but he really is being that way. And so, you know, this part of me, and so there's less, it just makes it harder to take 100% of the responsibility. But that's the, you know, that's the cold hard truth of the matter as I see it.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter what he's doing. My responsibility is the same, and that is to realize what's going on with me, do my work, see the part of me that reacts, the belief systems that I get into, what I'm projecting onto him, what I think needs to happen, and that's my responsibility, first, last, and always, is to do my practice. And
yes.
Would it be easier if he would disidentify and be the nice guy that I fell in love with? And that sure, maybe, but it still doesn't, remove the responsibility that I have to do the practice that I know how to do to end my suffering.
Yes, yes, that's my experience as well.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. And I also know that we are out of time.
I hear the music.
It's been a big pleasure, Sherry.
Thank you. For me too, Michael. See you next week.
Talk to you next week.